That was good again to be able to worship together and be able to experience the Spirit of God move among the congregation again and during a time of worship. I mean, I know we could go away from here well-fed already this morning, but I believe God has a little bit for us here yet today, so we'll take some time and continue on in the Sermon on the Mount. And today we're looking at the model prayer. And I believe for all of us this morning, we could probably identify a little differently in where we're at with our prayer life and how things are at as we recognize that prayer simply being the communication that we have with God. And I believe it is extremely, extremely important this morning. And I think for all of us to just to be reminded again to the importance of prayer and what it looks like and what Jesus called us to. So I thought this would be a good time for us to demonstrate prayer, and Darius and Jason and Connie, Andrew and Eric, if you would come on up front. We're going to have a prayer for Darius and send him off. Now I want us to remember that as we enter into this prayer, this is not just a formality. This is a connecting with the Heavenly Father, inviting His Spirit to go with Darius as he goes and serves where God has called him to serve. So that's what I want us to recognize this morning. Don't do this just as a ritual. But we're going to join together as a congregation, recognizing the power of prayer and the Spirit connection that it has when we stop and we invite the Almighty God to be part of what's going on here on earth. Let's stand together.
That'll work good. So, yeah. So. All right, Lord Jesus, we just want to take this time to pray for Darius. Lord, thank you for his commitment to you.
Yes, Lord.
And for his willingness to move to Florida and become a chief at Gator Camp. I pray that you will be with him. You will give him the grace and the wisdom and the patience that he needs.
Yes.
I pray that he will truly fall in love with the boys that he works with and that he can minister to them. And I pray that you'll be with him as he travels this week. Keep him safe. And for this adjustment in the next several months, we've been told that the first 4 months are the hardest. So we just pray for him in this transition. Thank you for a church body that's willing to stand alongside him in prayer and support. And we just want to commit this to you and commit their eyes to you and his willingness to go and serve. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Father, we do thank you this morning again for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come and call you Father and to know that there is no other God that we can turn to except you. Father, pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done with Darius as he goes. Lord, I pray that you would go with him. I pray that your Spirit would lead him, that your Spirit would guide him, Father, that you would protect him, recognizing that there are so many things that need to fall in place. I pray, Lord, that you would bring it all to pass. And I pray that Darius would be able to feel that connection with you and that he would be able to minister to the boys there and be able to minister to the staff there as well, to the other people that are around him. God, I pray that you would go with him and that that Gator Camp would be a better place because Darius is there, because Darius brings you with him. So, Father, we release him to you. We pray for strength. Pray for encouragement, Lord, that you would bring into his life and the things that he will need. I pray, Lord, that you would bless him with that. So, Father, we release him to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessings to you. So, recognizing again that what we do, we don't do just as a formality. And if there's anything I want us to get this morning, it is that we need to be intentional about our prayer life. We need to be intentional about the calling that God has placed on us as his children to be involved in prayer, and recognizing that the early church took it very seriously, the whole idea of prayer and being involved in having God involved through the action of prayer. And I know that we all have a desire to hear from God, right? Every one of us wants to hear from God. We have decisions to make. We have things that we have in life that we experience, and we just need the power of God to walk us through making decisions and making the things that happen. There's a place that we can turn to, a place that we can go, a place that brings life and brings strength and brings courage. Because we live in some desperately dark times. There's no question about it. When you watch the news and see what's going on with Israel and Palestine, I think that, again, we can pray for our fellow men there in Israel and in Palestine, and just the Christians that are involved there that are experiencing some horrific things. And do we really, you can go other places around the world where people are being killed for their faith. People that are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Does it ever touch your heart? Does it ever touch you where your spirit is and prompt you to just to stop and say, God, for strength for those people, for courage for those people? And so all of us this morning, we recognize that there are decisions and things that we need to make that need prayer. And so we turn to the scriptures, we turn to God's word, and we find a lot of instruction. We find things there that lead us in how to pray, lead us in ways to pray, and we can see models of how prayer was used throughout scripture. So in Luke 11, I didn't get that on there where I wanted it. Anyway, in Luke 11, 1, it says this. Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so when Jesus was praying, and when he was done praying, he stopped, and one of the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And I find it interesting, I find it very interesting, that they had been with Jesus. They saw him, they experienced him preaching, they experienced him healing, they experienced him doing all kinds of things. But the thing that the disciple asked for was, Lord, teach us how to pray. I believe that when Jesus prayed, they recognized that there was a power that came through that prayer that they wanted to be part of, that they wanted to understand, they wanted to know what it meant, or what was the purpose. Teach us, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he did. He gave us this scripture. And we'll work our way through this scripture, but it's so refreshing, it's so encouraging that we can enter into a prayer that Jesus sanctioned, that he encouraged, that he modeled. And so we have the opportunity today, and we can enter in. And again, I say, how is your prayer life this morning? How is your prayer life this morning? How is mine? Because I believe that if we are seeking the direction of God, if we are looking for God's direction in our lives, if we are looking to be spirit-led, if we're looking for the direction of God and we're not praying, then don't expect to get it. Do not expect to be led by the Spirit of God when we are not interceding with God in prayer. It's not just a ritual. It is not just a thing that you do. It is not just a chore to be done. But it is the spiritual inflowing of the Spirit of God into you and my life. So does God care how we pray? Obviously, in this scripture, he does. Does God care where we pray? Again, he does. Does God care what we pray? In 1 John 5:14, it says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And I don't want you to miss that part of that scripture that says that if we ask anything according to his will, not my will. How often have you entered into a time of prayer just pouring on God what you want? And just laying it out, saying God how things should work, telling God how they should work, and then asking him to be part of it. See, I think when we enter into prayer, we need to come with a heart that is open and saying, God, I want to be led by you. I want your will to be done, not mine. So this model prayer teaches us the purpose of prayer, the practice of prayer, and the power of prayer. And it's in those three things I will spend some time this morning. So this morning we're going to dive into this here subject of a subject that is probably as familiar to us as bread is. You know, we know prayer. We've heard prayer. We know what prayer means. We know we grew up praying prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, Lord, you know, whatever. I don't even remember the rest of it, but if I die before I wake, I pray to the Lord my soul to take. Remember praying? Did any of us ever pray that kind of prayer? You know, we started that at a very young age, and I personally did not. I did not grow up in a house that was a praying house. I saw my dad bow his head at the table and at mealtime, but I never heard my father pray a prayer out loud. We were encouraged to pray when we went to bed, and then we would quote some of these things. But it was not something that I. So when I got saved, and I came in tune with the power of praying, it was like a revival. It was like a new life. The fact that I could talk to the Heavenly Father, the fact that I could talk to the God of the universe, the fact that I could talk to the one who created me, who created everything. He created all the people around me. He created the world, and I could talk to him. And that is an awesome privilege this morning. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have such an awesome privilege, and yet so many times we miss it. And Charles Spurgeon said this, "True prayer is neither a mere mental exercise nor a vocal performance. It is far deeper than that. It is a spiritual transaction with the Creator of heaven and earth. It is far more than just a mental exercise or a vocal performance." And I wonder how often we enter into this. Just a mental exercise or a vocal performance that we do, not recognizing that we're connecting with the Almighty God, that we're connecting with the one who created us. And I wonder, there's times that I've done that. It's not some kind of yoga or some kind of trance that you go into. Prayer is simply communicating with God. It is not difficult. It's like sitting down and talking to your best friend, where you sit down with someone and you start to talk and you talk about things. That is the simplest form of prayer. Is you're sitting down and you're talking to the Father. You don't have to do some kind of, I don't know, cross your legs and your arms and breathe deep and all that kind of, maybe it would help, but it's not that. It's not in that. And it's not in the words you say. It's not like you have to have all the right spiritual words to speak to the Father that he will hear you. And we get into that in this scripture. He talks about that. You don't have to have some kind of thee and thou so that God will understand you. Talk to God like you're talking to me. And you will find the Spirit of God ministering to your spirit. Not some kind of exercise, not some kind of vocal thing. It is a spiritual transaction between you and God. So let's read the scripture together. Matthew 6, starting at verse 5 through 15, we have Jesus continuing with the Sermon on the Mount. And remember again that Jesus is zeroing in on the heart. He's zeroing in on the heart of people. He wants people to recognize that our lives lived according to the law don't produce fruit. But when our hearts are connected to Him, that makes a world of difference. That is when we will find courage. That is where we will find strength. That is where we will be able to live according to His plan and His purpose. And He starts out in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And I'm going to stop there. We're going to go back to verse 6, which I was going to mention, and I buzzed right on past it. But there's something I want you to know. It says there at the end of the chapter, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And as I looked into that, I discovered here in my study Bible that the word openly is not in the original Greek, two of the original Greek writings that they were taking most of this from. The word openly was not in those scriptures. This was an addition to later translation, also in the King James and in the New King James. And I looked up some other versions that do not include openly in that. So, you know, we kind of hear that scripture, we kind of hear it as though God's some kind of going to make things known openly to other people that you're praying in secret. I don't think that's quite the definition of the meaning of that word openly there. So just going to leave it there that it is not included in the original Greek. Verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. He knows what your needs are before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, He says. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And I say, what? What does that have to do with this model prayer that Jesus just told us to pray? Or showed us how to pray, this model that He gave. So we'll look a little bit at that again. I don't know that understandings of it are complete, but we'll look at that a little bit. So it's our desire that as we look into the scripture, that as we look at this here topic of prayer, that we'll invite God. And I just ask you to pause and just do that right now. Just invite the Lord to speak to your spirit as it relates to prayer, and that He will bring a passion, that He will bring a passion on each of our hearts to understand the importance of how essential prayer is to our spiritual lives and to our connection to the Father. That's our heart, Lord. Open our hearts and our minds to receive Your truth today, Lord. We want Your guidance. We want Your wisdom. as we look at this. So, Father, we invite you to come and minister to each of us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. And one of the things I want to just share too, right, is that prayer is not a special gift to a select few. There's not just a select few of people that get the gift of prayer. Prayer is for all who have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have repented of their sins, and made God, made Jesus their Savior. So prayer is part of, prayer is for all, not just for a select few. It's not to be achieved by some kind of human effort. It's a gift of God. It comes with salvation. So the purpose of prayer. So we look at I'm just going to spend a little bit of time just going down over verses 5 through 8 as we get into the purpose of prayer here. He says, he starts in verse 5 and says, and when you pray. And one of the things I know that it's really elementary to all of us, but he says, when you pray, he doesn't say if you pray. He is expecting that we as children of God, if you are a child of God, if you're born again, washed in the blood, that you will have a prayer life. So when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So it appears like there were those people that were being, that had some form of standing there in the street corners and in the synagogues, and they prayed loud so that people could see that they were praying people. And you know what? Sometimes I've experienced that where prayers are offered in a way that it makes you wonder, you know, was that prayer really for that people would see how good I am at praying, or did that prayer actually connect with the Father? So he goes on, he says, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. If this is the purpose that we're praying, it's just to be seen by men. So I ask you this question. So when you're with people, like when your small group is at the mountains, or when you're together with other people, wherever it might be, do you find yourself praying quicker than you would when you're alone? I'm just asking, not accusing. That would put us somewhat in that category of, yeah, it looks like I pray a lot, but do I really? If I need to tell everybody I pray, if I need to tell everybody that I pray a lot, so he wants us. He said, but you, in verse 6, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So one of the purposes of prayer, I believe, is, again, that we seek that reward from the Father, that we, in communication with him, and he rewards us. And we ask, we get into this, he tells us what we're supposed to ask for and how we're supposed to do it. And he also says in verse 7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. And I've been in settings already where if there were 5 words in the complete prayer that were just said over and over and over and over and over and over and over, so that there were a lot of words and so that it sounded like there was a lot of spiritual connection with God because of a lot of, and he talks about that. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. I want to point out to you again this morning the simplicity of prayer. It's simple. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. You don't need to educate yourself on how to pray. It's talking to the Father. And he says, do it in secret. And that's not saying, I do not believe that we should not have prayer meeting and pray together at prayer meetings and that kind of thing. I'm not saying that for one moment, because you see the early church was together, and one of the things they did was they prayed together. And I believe that is a vital, important part of church fellowship, is that we pray together. So it's not saying that you every time you pray that you should just go in your closet with nobody else around. That's the only time you talk to God. As obviously Jesus did. He prayed a prayer in the presence of the disciples, and so we know that to take it to that level, but if it's the idea that you're doing it on the street corner, you're doing it to be seen by people, and that's why I don't put a lot of pressure and a lot of heat on attending our prayer meetings here on a Wednesday night, or which we have every Wednesday night, first Wednesday night of the month, is that I want people to come that want to pray. So I'm not going to twist your arm. I'm not going to twist you. If you feel the Spirit of God, if you want to come and you want to join in, it's a good time. It's a good time of praying for the church, praying for our government, praying for the things around us. It's a good time, but I'm not going to twist your arm. I want you to come if you want to come. I want you to come and pray because you want to pray. Okay? Says, therefore, in verse 8, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask him. So prayer has many aspects to it. It is deeply rooted in our relationship with God. First of all, it's deeply rooted in our relationship with God and not merely a religious ritual or a duty to be performed. It is a profound spiritual practice. And so what is the purpose of prayer? It's a means of communication with God. Just as we convene or we converse with our loved ones, sharing our joys, sorrows, those kind of things. So we sit down with our loved ones and we share with them. So the purpose of prayer is it is a means of communication with God. And I think I pretty well established that already. So I think about the times that Karen and I, if we don't take the time to stop and to communicate, there's a lot of things go wrong. And I know that is true for all of you here this morning, husbands and wives or whatever your relationship is, whether it's work or business or whatever it might be. If we don't stop and communicate, there's a lot of things can go wrong. And so it is with you and I. If you think that you can walk around in this world, if you think that you can face the enemy, if you think that you can overcome the wiles of the devil without talking to the Father, you are mistaken. And you wonder why you're not experiencing power. If you're not praying and wondering why you're not experiencing power in your life, then start praying. Start talking to the Father. Start communicating with him because there's something missing. And things go really bad when we don't communicate. So Karen and I have made it a point to stop and communicate and talk to each other. And even in doing that, sometimes we miss each other. So we really need to be in tune with what God is saying to us. It is the way that we communicate to him. It's an act of worship. When we pray, we acknowledge God's sovereignty. It's like kneeling down before God and saying, God, there is nowhere else that I can turn to. And there should not be anywhere else that I can turn to. But I turn to you in an act of worship, submitting to you, saying, you are God, you alone are God, and I'm coming to you. So it's an act of worship. We glorify his name when we pray in his hallowed name. Hallowed be your name. So it's an act of worship. It's a means of aligning ourselves with God's will. As we look at the will of God, and we want to find the will of God, as I said earlier, when there's no communication, don't expect to know what the will of God is for you. It's a tool for our spiritual growth. We grow spiritually through the act of prayer. We grow spiritually when we pray. When we don't, we die. Are you with me this morning? Prayer is so important. It is a weapon in spiritual warfare. If we are going to go against the enemy, there is no way that we can do it without communicating with the Father. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Because he's with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I love that scripture. But it happens that he wants to sit down with you at a table in the presence of your enemies and communicate with you. And I talked about that before, but it's such a beautiful picture. It's such a beautiful picture. Sitting in the presence of your enemies at a table with Almighty God and communicating with Him. Wow! That's where the strength is. That's where the power is. That's where you come for strength. It serves a vital purpose in our lives. His prayer is, it's not optional. It's not something that's just something you do if you have time. And unfortunately, for many of us, that is exactly the way we treat prayer. We get up in the morning and there's so many things to do that we don't have time to stop, or we don't have time to talk to the Father. We go throughout our day so consumed with everything that is happening around us, everything that is going on, keeping our minds so fixed on this world that we never once stop to talk to God about it. I'm talking from my experience. I'm not, I've done this too often. But when you stop, if you're in the middle of things that just seem overwhelming, have you stopped? Have you stopped and truly sought the infilling spiritual power of God through prayer? Have you stopped? Stop. Stop running. Stop doing for a moment. And I'm telling you, this is not just, you don't just get up in the prayer. This is another thing about prayer. You don't just get up in the morning and do it one time. Prayer is communication with God. It is living your day. It is walking throughout your day with a God awareness where you speak to Him and you talk to Him. Yeah, there might be people that will think you're weird. I encourage you to even do it out loud. If you're walking through the aisle of the store and there's something you need to talk to God about, I might want to be a little, well, I don't know. Do you really want to be discreet about it? Hey, Lord, talk to Him. When you're driving down the road, perfect opportunity. You don't need to kneel. You don't have to get down on your knees. Talk to Him. Talk to the Father. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. He wants to talk to you. That's prayer. That's what it's about. Back in 1994, I was feeling a need to change jobs. I was working for Hearst Excavating for 8 years, and excavating is kind of, it's all in over the summer, and in the winter it's kind of, you work in a shop, you do whatever odd jobs are to be done. And I was getting more involved in ministry. I wasn't ordained yet at that time, but as a lay pastor and feeling like I just, there was more things that I could have done evenings instead of working late summer evenings excavating. Just felt like God was leading me to find another job. So I applied at Lines and Hole. I applied at Martin Limestone, and neither one got back to me. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, find a place where I can go. Find a place where I can work. Find a place that I can be fulfilled and that I can, you know, have some freedom, some liberty if I need to get off where somebody would be understanding. Because in the excavating world, there's not a lot of understanding when the dirt's dry, you need to work kind of thing. And I understood that. And I enjoyed construction, so I was looking at the wrong places, obviously, in looking at Lines and Hole and Martin Limestone at that time, which is now New Enterprise. But as I prayed about this, I was talking to Jim one day, and Jim said, why don't you come work for me? I was used to operating equipment, driving truck, that kind of thing. We did some hydraulic work in our shop over the winter time. And I'm like, really? Yeah, I don't see myself as a hydraulic mechanic in any way, shape, or form. But I did. I took the offer, and in July of 1994, I started working for Byler Hydraulics. And this past July, it was 29 years. I enjoy what I do. I thoroughly. I can go to work in the morning. I enjoy going to work. I don't get up in the morning feeling like I don't want to go to work. I never did. So I did different jobs there. I did service work for 10 years on the road. So that was the other thing. I started working there, and I was there 9 months, and they needed a serviceman to go out on the road and fix stuff. And I'm like, whatever. They gave me a truck, and I had a toolbox, and I went out and started fixing hydraulics. A lot of things that I knew nothing about that I had to fight my way through. And I did. Continued at it. One of the things I enjoy about Byler's is the different opportunities there. I spent 16 years then in sales, and now I have 3 years at service counter as a service writer. So there's different things I could do, but I as I was praying, I was looking at the wrong places, and God opened a door for me. Not even expecting. I wasn't looking for that. It wasn't the kind of thing I didn't think I could do. And here, 29 years later, still doing the same thing, or working the same places and just enjoying it. So I share that to share that. Talk to God. Talk about what he wants. Will he always give you what you want? Obviously not. Is he going to give you what's best? I believe that he will give you what's best for you. It may not seem the best for you. It may not seem like it's the right thing, but I believe that he will give you what is best for you. So we look at the practice of prayer. And the practice of prayer, I get my stuff straight here. The practice of prayer is outlined more in verses 9 through 13. We'll be taking a look at that briefly. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Why did he say, in this manner, therefore? Whenever there is a therefore, look out what it's there for. Find out what it's there for. So if there is a, in this manner, therefore, pray. Why? Because there was these people who were hypocrites about their prayer life and were using vain words and a lot of repetition and that kind of thing. He says, pray like this. And I encourage you this morning, this has changed my prayer life. There was a number of years ago, I don't know how long it was in particular, that I sat down and I looked at this prayer and I understood through the leading of the Holy Spirit that this is really simple. This is not difficult. And I grew up in the Weaverland Conference where at the end of every prayer, they would religiously quote this prayer. They would just basically read it as it is. They would close their prayers with this prayer. So it became a ritual. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, we knew that was close to the end of the sermon. It was kind of it got you going. When I say in conclusion here today, that's kind of what it did for us back then. So in verse 9, Jesus provided us with a model for prayer. In verse 9, he says this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. It reminds us who we're speaking to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when Jesus called us to pray, and this is when you stop and you come before the Father, I think this is so important. First of all, he said, who did he tell us to pray to? As you look at that scripture, who did he tell you to pray to? The Father. Absolutely. Jesus himself told us to pray to the Father. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus even included, he said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So he's calling us to recognize God is our Father. God is the one that we're praying to. And I don't have a problem with you putting Jesus' name in your prayer, but I want to remind you that when you pray, recognize that you're praying to the Father through Jesus. That is the way that we come to the Father. Through the Son, we come to the Father. So we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So when you start out your prayer, first of all, acknowledge that he is your Father in heaven. And that is such a beautiful picture to me. To stop and say, my Father, my spiritual Father, my Father in heaven, your name is above every name. You're good. You're God. There is no other God that I can turn to. There is no other place that I can find strength. There's no other place that I can turn to for courage and hope. except through my Heavenly Father. So he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then we go on to the next part. It says where we find that a surrender to God's will. The practice of prayer is surrendering to God's will. And we find that in the next verse. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose kingdom is to come? Whose will is to be done? How often have I stood before the Father and begged him to meet my will, to do what I want? In this prayer, he's saying, your kingdom come. We're still talking to the Father, remember? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I submit myself. I submit myself to your will, to your kingdom, or whatever it is that you want. I submit to, I surrender to God's will. It's the request for our daily needs. He goes on in the next verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And many times we come before the Father and we say, make my mansions big. Make my herds big. Make my things work out. Jesus said, come before the Father and say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need food, we need clothing. And the Bible says if you have those two, to be content. Food and clothing. The request for our daily needs. It's also the plea for forgiveness and commitment to forgive others. It says in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And there's not one of us here this morning that has not been forgiven a whole lot of debt. And there's probably not one of us here this morning that has someone who has legitimately done something against you that you need to forgive them for. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's a plea for forgiveness and a commitment to forgive each, to forgive others. So in this prayer, this simple talking to the Father, God, I need the strength. I need the strength to forgive where I need to forgive, just as you forgive me. It's a request for guidance and protection. In verse 13, it says, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And do not lead us into temptation. Protect us, Lord. It's a request for guidance, for protection. When we come to the Father, we ask for guidance. Lord, lead us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And we all need to pray that prayer because daily we are faced with the enemy. And I just want to quickly take a look at the power of prayer. I missed that. There was a quote from John Stott there I was going to share with you. Prayer is not a convenient device for imposing our will upon God or bending his will to ours, but the prescribed way of subordinating our will to his. It's a mouthful, but it is so true. It's not a convenient device to impose our will on God. It is to bend our will to his will. Prayer is bending out, it's shaping the way we think. It's shaping our minds to receive from the Father. So the power of prayer. The power is something that cannot be underestimated. We cannot underestimate the power of God. If there's things in your life today that you're struggling with or you need help with, turn to the power of prayer. And many times I think we find ourselves turning to other people, other things, other books, other stuff to find answers. While those things can help us, while people can help us, and God does speak through people, but are you stopping? Are you stopping and talking to the Father himself? There's power in it. In James 5:16, it says this, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We're told that the prayer of the righteous man is powerful, it's effective. Doesn't mean that we are in our own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ through us where the power comes, and it gives us the power to change. So the power of prayer is the power to change us. In Romans 12, 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How does the renewing of your mind happen? It happens through prayer. It happens with connecting with God. It happens through that spiritual connection, not just words or a ritual. It's a spiritual connection with God that we are changed. Paul urges us to do this. It is the power to change our circumstance. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." It has the power to change circumstance. I believe that. So when we call on God, we pray according to His will. And if we are willing to repent, it changes circumstance. It changes the outcome of your life if you are willing to repent. If it, like it says there, "If my people who are called by my name," first of all, humble themselves. You have to humble yourself to pray, recognizing that you need to pray. You humble yourself and you pray and you seek His face and you turn from your wicked ways. And when you turn from your wicked ways, it changes the course of your life. In the New Testament, we see in Philippians 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Paul understood the power of prayer to bring peace in the midst of anxiety and uncertainty. Are you this morning struggling with anxiety, with the lack of peace? Pray. 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 It has the power to bring about the will of God. I believe that we're pretty familiar with that, that it has the power to bring about God's will, because when you connect with the Father, then you start to act according to His will. It has the power to bring about. And there's just a couple, there's two hindrances that I'm just going to point out, because there are hindrances to the power of prayer that I just want us to look at, and that's found here in the last two verses of this chapter. In verse 14 and 15, it says this: "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And I say, what does that have to do with this? Prayer has a lot to do with it. If we are unwilling to forgive, if we're unwilling to forgive men their trespasses against us, it affects the power of prayer. It takes away the power of prayer if we're unwilling to forgive. And so, yes, it has a lot to do with it. Another scripture that we're all familiar with is 1 Peter 3:7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Husbands, if you are sitting here this morning, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not honoring your wife as a weaker vessel, if you're not treating her with kindness, respect that God expects you to, and you're praying for God's wisdom, you're praying for God's direction, I'm here to assure you it is hindering your prayer if you're not treating her right. That your prayers may not be hindered. That your prayers may not be hindered. The power of prayer is essential in our spiritual life. You cannot walk in the Spirit or be led by the Spirit if you are not praying. You can't walk in the Spirit or be led by the Spirit if you're not praying. So I call you again to the seriousness of prayer, to the act of prayer. to the purpose of prayer, the practice of it, and the power of it. And it knows we will find God moving. And I invite you to continue to pray for the congregation. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Pray for your family. You mothers with children, you have an awesome responsibility. God has given you your children. They are your first ministry. Pray for them. You need to be praying for them. Because fathers, you can't find wisdom for your family if you're not praying. I know, I've been there. I've gone through times where my prayer life has slacked off and I could always see it in my children and in my wife. I could see it. So maybe some of you are struggling here this morning. I call you again to the power of prayer, to begin being connected with the Father, and therein finding the strength and the purpose that God has for you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again this morning for your scripture, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to move us, shape us, and mold us into the people that you want us to be. God, we thank you today that we have opportunity to come to a Father, the God of gods, the King of the universe, and that today, Lord, that when we submit and yield ourselves to you, that you are more than willing and wanting to interact in our lives. Father, I pray today that as we come to you, as we yield ourselves to you, that you would see the shed blood of Jesus, and that we are able to come into the Holy of Holies by that blood, Father, and we come to you. And we sit in the throne room of grace, asking you, Lord, to continue to lead and guide our lives according to the plan and purpose that you had when that sermon was preached there on the Sermon on the Mount, that is just as effective today as the day it was preached. And that you alone, Lord, are the one that we can turn to, the one that we can draw strength from. And I'm inviting you, Lord, to continue to shape us as a church, as we go out to the people that we interact with, Lord, that everyone would be able to be a living, shining testimony of you to the world that we live in. I do pray for the world around us, Lord, that there would be an openness to receive from you, to hear from you, and to yield to you, and to come to know you. So we give this time, the scripture, and this teaching to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Invite the chorister to come and lead the closing song.